Welcome, everybody. Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capital. Coach Dan really was tired because he just hung up on me. What's up with that? What just happened? Did my internet... Hello?
The internet crapped out.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, all you Caps fans out there. This is What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. What's going on, guys? The Capitals are over there. They're curling over in Calgary. They're in Western Canada, eh? Eating Tim Hortons, going up against these Canadian teams, eh? But we're still here. We're still in Baltimore and wherever Coach Dan lives, but we're Skyping in with him anyway. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Wherever I live.
I don't know. You move around a lot.
I have recently over the past year.
Yeah.
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. The Capitals, even though they had a defeat in Edmonton, I still want to say the Capitals have been looking good. Let's start off with the game that happened last week on October 16th. The Devils came to D.C. Devils down on D.C. Yard here up against the Capitals. They won 6-2. Pretty decisive win for these guys. The Devils did not look like a very good team that night, and the Capitals are definitely falling into place. We talked about it last week, and I think this kind of continues the trend. The Capitals, under Barry Trotz, they're looking like a full team. There's still some holes, sure, but they still are looking good. Even up against the Devils, where it looks as like kind of like a blowout, it was 6-2, and then they go to a shootout up against the Panthers and then lose in Edmonton. Still, this team is a very different team. You can tell the attitude in the locker room is very different because everybody is here to play and everybody is making big plays and doing their jobs, really, on the ice.
In the New Jersey game, I thought was an interesting situation. It looked like New Jersey was more of the Capitals than the Capitals were, where both teams, you know, had a good job going in the first period. You know, the Caps took the lead. New Jersey tied it up. Caps took the lead. New Jersey tied it up. And it was like right after each other. It was a little ridiculous. And then the Caps just pulled away. New Jersey played just some really poor second and third periods. It was a bit surprising, but it was great to see the Caps stayed in it. That was definitely a fun game to watch. It was nice to see that Jágr didn't get a point. I believe so. That was always appreciated. For some reason, they couldn't stop the rookie Damon Severson from scoring a goal, which is a little weird. But yeah, no, I mean, the Caps played a great game that night. Everybody seemed to get on the score sheet. Burakovsky again. This kid is ridiculous. And even Chris Brown got a goal. But yeah, I mean, the team looked great. They're doing a good job in that game, and it was nice to see. But then, unfortunately, in the next two games, they did not do as well as you'd hope, even though they got the win in Florida, and then the unfortunate. Their first regulation loss against Edmonton.
Here's the thing, though, with that Edmonton game. It was a late one, so I was a little groggy. So maybe I did, you know, doze off for a couple plays here or there. But Edmonton came out first, and they got the first goal. And I said this last week. I'll say it again this week. This team is not giving up when they're down a point or two. Even though it was like an early goal and it was I think it was a rookie. It was a young guy who got that first goal in Edmonton. This team played all the way through. They played a full 60 minutes. I wish they would have gotten away with a win here. But at the same time, I'm kind of proud of these guys because they didn't let, not having a lead at any point really affect them too much. They should have gotten away with it, but like you saw Ovi kind of let a puck go, and then the Nuge came out, was able to get down the ice and score on Holpe. But this team, they are playing a full 60 minutes. It's not a perfect 60 minutes, but they're not giving up, which I'm really impressed with.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, especially in the Edmonton game, they had the opportunity to score more goals. And yes, Ben Scrivens did play a good game. I'm not going to take anything away from him on that one, but just, I don't know. It felt like they should have had a bunch of goals. I felt like they could have been up 2-1 or 3-1 after the first period, and they weren't able to get enough things going offensively. They had plenty of puck possession after the first. It just, you know, they weren't able to get goals. But, you know, they definitely was a little disappointing to see the loss in Edmonton. I really felt like they had a chance to get a win there, and they should have come out of there with two more points.
I wish they would have. I really do. And I think they could have, but they're getting closer to being this full 60-minute team, which keeps me a little bit more hope there. But one of the goals, I think it was the first goal of the night, and it was Backstrom's 500th point. They were on the power play. They were moving that puck around, and it just was a beauty. It, you know, goes from Backstrom,
that was nice.
Backstrom to Carlson. Carlson gets the goal. What a beautiful play that was.
Yeah, I mean, that was just ridiculous. I remember even people on Twitter that usually are Caps haters to some extent were like, that was a nice power play. Like, that was just really well done. To see the – it's just the way they were so relaxed. Even Marcus Johansson, I remember he had the puck behind the net, and he was just kind of like sitting there. He went to fake the pass across and just, you know, moved it back over to Backstrom, who moved it over to Carlson. It was a phenomenal play. It's nice to see the power plays starting to click after that pathetic start to the season against Montreal, where they were, what, like 0 for 6?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So it's nice to see that the power play is starting to work.
Let's talk about this with the Canadian trip. Jay Beagle became active. He had his first game in Edmonton.
What the hell was he doing on the second line? Sorry. Like, I put it on Twitter, and I was like, why is Kuznetsov not there? I understand that Kuznetsov, Johansson, Burakovsky would defensively be kind of a nightmare. But I get it that Beagle technically has this, you know, his skill set is similar to Likes, I guess. But he brings nothing to the table offensively. You know, why not bump up? I guess you want to split up Chimera Ward, maybe give Ferrer a chance, and you can put, you know, Beagle on the third line. I don't think he necessarily hurts that third line playing in the center spot. It made no sense putting Beagle back on the center. It was nice to see him out there, but it made no sense.
Yeah, and he was playing winger, right?
Yeah, he was playing on the right wing. What?
Yeah, you see, Beagle, he is a guy who wins faceoffs. He should be in the center position somewhere. I understand they want to give Burakovsky more time to be the second line center and kind of start winning some more faceoffs. But Beagle, that's his specialty, man. Let him do his thing. Whether he's a guy who I'm not really worried about what line he's on. Like, it's not like a status thing or anything to see Beagle out there. But having Beagle back was great. But having Brooks Like out, not making the trip, that kind of sucks. And he's on injury reserve right now, but they're thinking it's not going to be that big of a deal. That's going to be like a 7 to 10 day thing. But with Brooks Like, I mean, we'll see, because the dude has missed a ton of games in the last like 3 years.
Yeah, Brooks Like, again, it seems like it's a minor injury and they're just sort of protecting him, but we'll see if they said anything. He's going to be able to come back when the boys return to DC next week, and if that's the case and he's back, it's good to see. But it didn't even look like that bad of a hit, you know. Like, I saw the highlight, and it's just like he kind of, like, took a shot into the shoulder. He didn't go to the boards or anything. And he just, you know, he was grimacing in a lot of pain. He went back to the locker room in a lot of pain. And hopefully it's a minor thing, and he just, you know, he took a good hit, and it wasn't even that good of a hit. And, you know, he's back to – they just, you know, we'll not put him on this road trip. We want to get Beagle in because he's back. We'll put Like on IR and give Beagle a chance to play and then decide what to do when they come back to D.C. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But Jay Beagle, I think him playing with Johansson and Burakovsky can kind of help those two guys out, and because he can be a little bit more defensive as they are more offensive. But we'll see what happens. I don't think this is a permanent spot for Jay Beagle. I think he'll be back on the fourth line next week if Brooks Like is back with the team. But we'll see how it goes. But Jay Beagle on the second line, little strange to see, but happy to have him back in the lineup for the Capitals. So that's good to see. One guy that we're not going to see in the Capitals lineup for a while, Big John Erskine. He hasn't really played any games this year, but he got hurt in a practice, and he had surgery on his neck yesterday on Wednesday the 22nd. That's a scary injury. If he comes back at any point, he may not play ever again. I'm honestly wondering if his playing days are over, because a neck injury is something not to play with. I doubt we'll even see him this season.
I don't know. Didn't stop Peyton Manning.
Well, you know, the Seahawks stopped Peyton Manning more than anything.
Well, that's true.
And also Joe Flacco and Jacoby Jones stopped him a year or two before that.
Slow down, Ravens fan. All right. Anyways.
Hashtag just saying.
Shut up. Anyway. No, I mean, I don't expect to see him playing for the Caps just because they have better players.
Right.
But it sucks to see that a guy has an injury like that, especially with your neck. And, you know, health comes first. And hopefully, just as a person, you know, he's healthy soon. And he's able to, you know, walk around without any of that pain, especially in your neck. I mean, that's got to be ridiculous. And, you know, I have hope for him, but I don't think he has a spot on this team anymore just because he doesn't have the skill level that they have in the defensive unit now. In the past, he was one of their top guys because everyone else wasn't that good. But now you got you know, Alsner and Carlson and Niskanen and Orpik and Green and Orlov when he's back, and Schmidt's been playing well, and you have Carrick and Schilling in the minors, and you know, a couple other guys coming up, and I don't think Bowie can play for them just yet, but you know, you have guys that are available to play, even Hillen, I guess, technically. So it sucks to hear that this is something that happened to Erskine, but if you can get that cap hit off you, whether it's by a trade or long-term injury reserve, it's you know, it helps the team out in the end.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens because this is the last year of his contract. He is a huge hit to the salary cap. I mean, he's making almost $2 million a year. So if hopefully he can get healthy, but I don't see him dressing as a Capital this season or any season after this. So this might be the end of John Erskine's Capital career. He may get picked up by somebody else in the league, but they apparently tried to shop him around and nobody was biting. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's gotta suck.
Yeah.
Although you have to wonder if it's because of his contract, but like how much he's making.
Right.
Like, if you look at him, they're like, well, we would like him, but not at that rate.
Right.
You know? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if his neck is not as bad as we're making it sound, and he ends up being able to come back, and when his contract is up, they can go and you know, he goes and signs with somebody else. He certainly could play for them, but I don't see him playing in a cap sweater, you know, again.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But no matter what, best of luck to John Erskine. He's had a great career in D.C. playing with the Capitals, and he's always been one of my favorites, and he's been the nicest guy to the fans. And hopefully after this surgery and everything, he is healthy, and he can, you know, live a normal life after this. And we really don't know, like, what happened or what aggravated this injury or whatever, but best of luck to him in his recovery. Really hope Big John can get back to the way he was. So best of luck to him. But let's talk about a former Capital that we saw last night, Matt Hendricks, dropping the gloves for Edmonton up against the Capitals, against the new guy, Liam O'Brien.
That was weird.
That was really weird.
Like, I think I tweeted that out, that it was just like, it was weird situation to see. Of it was old Hendricks versus new Hendricks.
Pretty much. I think you liked my tweet that I sent out as well, where it was like, you know, it's kind of like that feeling you get when your old girlfriend just starts punching your new girlfriend right in the face, and you kind of enjoy it, but it still feels weird.
I think you're using like in a different way than I do.
But it was definitely weird. But Liam O'Brien, I give him credit for picking a fight.
Getting punched in the face.
With Hendricks, but man, you don't start fights with Matt Hendricks.
Well, I mean, Hendricks isn't necessarily like, you know, a heavyweight by any means. You know, he's not Donald Brashear in the middle of his career. But Hendricks is definitely, you know, he's good at fighting. He's good at getting punched in the face. And I guess same thing goes for O'Brien. It was just weird to see, because O'Brien could essentially be the new Matt Hendricks. You know, I think Hendricks brings more to the table offensively. But O'Brien could pretty much be that same role, that fan favorite that people, you know, they really sort of start to follow because he's willing to do whatever he has to for this team in the same way that Hendricks was. And, you know, we'll see how that goes forward. But it was definitely weird to see old Hendricks versus new Hendricks.
Yeah, that definitely was a bit strange. But Liam O'Brien, I got to say, he kind of held his own, and he knows what his job
is. Didn't he, like, tackle him?
Yeah.
They were kind of punching, and he was like, screw this, and boom.
Yeah, and just took him to the ice. So definitely a weird one to see up in Edmonton. But going forward, we definitely have a few teams to that are on the horizon next week. What do you think this team has to do to kind of get over that hump? Because really, they've won in regulation. They've been through a few shootouts already. I mean, they've already had three shootouts.
Stop going to overtime.
What do these guys have to do to win in regulation?
Score more goals than the other team. No, sorry. I mean, they have some tough games coming up. Calgary's not doing that. I mean, they're doing okay in the start of the season. Vancouver's tough. Ryan Miller seems to be settling in nicely there. That was a great pickup by Vancouver. And then they got Detroit next Wednesday. That's always a tough game. And, you know, with the Capitals' luck, Datsyuk will be back by then. So, of course, that would happen. But, yeah, I mean, they have some tough games. I think they need to continue playing a full 60 minutes, or at least, like, 50 or 55. I think they need to stop giving teams – why is it, like, defensemen are having no problem scoring against them? Like, what is that all about? They need to start playing a little better, I guess, defensively. And it seems to be a common occurrence, and it happened a lot last season, where they score a goal, and then they take a penalty.
Yeah.
Stop it. When you score a goal, keep up the pressure. Don't let up a little bit and do something stupid. Keep the pressure up. Keep attacking. Try and get some more. There's no reason to slow up, especially with, you know, you play a team like a Detroit. You know, if I can score a lot, you got to keep the pressure. And so I think some of his guys start playing a little better after they score and keep the power play going. The PK has been looking good. Just try and stay off it as much as possible.
Yeah.
So. Give the goalie some more help. I mean, outside of what? The New Jersey game and the win against Boston. I mean, they haven't really had, well, they've had a couple of offensive explosions, as you may say. But outside of, like, what, the Boston game, the crazy one against San Jose that they had no business being involved in. Mm-hmm. And the game against Jersey, which was, I think a lot of those goals were a result of just Jersey playing poorly, not necessarily them playing great offensively. That this is not really a big offensive team. That they need to sort of break out of that a little bit.
Yeah, the I do want to bring this up. The one defensive guy that we are always bringing up, he's under a huge magnifying glass, Brooks Orpik. He's throwing some big hits, but he's also getting beat a lot by a lot of younger guys.
Well, yeah, he's got them old man legs now. He's what, 30?
I think he's 34 or
35. Something like that. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you're playing him with, who the hell they're playing with, Carlson?
Carlson, yeah.
I think, you know, some of it could be a result of he's out of position because he's still learning the system, or some of it could be that he's slow. But I'll still take Orpik right now over a couple other guys, but they may have to, you know, Carlson may have to start helping him out a little bit and covering a couple of things. But, you know, I got really no concerns yet with Mr. Orpik.
Yeah, I like the hits he's throwing.
He's the guy they've been missing since Scott Stevens.
Yeah, I mean, I like what he's doing so far, but there are those instances where he's getting, like, you know, skated around by a younger guy, and I'm like, ooh, that's gonna get old real quick. But for right now, I mean, he is looking okay, but he's definitely getting beat by some younger guys. That's gonna leave Holtby and Peters just completely, you know, left out to dry. So we'll see what happens, but. Holtby in Edmonton, I want to say Holtby did look good. Yeah, he should have had the one goal against the Nuge. I think he could have, you know, repositioned himself and gotten that goal. But other than that, Holtby's kind of back to his old aggressive goaltending style.
Yeah, I like what I've seen from Holtby. He's definitely more aggressive. He had one play, I think it was, yeah, in Edmonton. I can't remember what period it was, but he had it. The puck came down the boards. I think they were on the power play, and it was kind of near the end of the power play, and he was trying to get the pass up quick. But if he had fumbled it at all, because one of the Oilers players was coming down the boards, if he had fumbled that puck at all, the Oilers player was getting a get it with a wide open net. So sometimes it makes you a little nervous where you're like, Jesus Christ, don't do it. But I think he's been doing great for the most part. He's, you know, occasionally they hang him out to dry, but I think they're doing a much better job defensively to help him out. I think he's playing better. He's playing in a system he's much more comfortable in. And I can't remember specifically what game it was, but they were talking about, I think it was Craig Laughlin was talking about in practices how what they're doing now is he feels so much more comfortable with the drills that they're doing. He thinks are much better for him than what they were doing last season, and that he just feels overall like things are going much better for the goaltending department. And we see it right now that he feels more comfortable. I think Justin Peters in his showings for the team has looked great.
Yeah.
So, you know, the goaltending department, I'm not worried about right now. I'm worried about the offense and lack thereof to some extent. And, you know, I'm a little defensively, I just want to see Orpik a little bit more wheels, or just, you know, be able to pick up on those guys going past you a little quicker. And, I mean, it's kind of it right now. I'm not worried about the coaching staff, which is a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not really a lot of, like, roster moves I want to see right now. You know, I think they definitely have a good problem in the fact that they're not really sure who's going to play once Wilson comes back to the team and Beagle's healthy, if Light can get back healthy. You know, they have some interesting decisions to make in regards to who's going to be in the roster and who's not.
Yeah, let's talk about Tom Wilson real quick. There was some talk that he might go on this this Canadian trip, and we might see him at the tail end, possibly in the game on Sunday. But they decided that he would go down to Hershey, and he would play with them for the weekend. But it seems as if he didn't go down for like a conditioning stint or anything like that. They're not really given a timetable for what's going on, but it seems as if Barry Trotz and the Hershey Bears coach are kind of talking about it and deciding like how long he's going to play and what games he's going to be playing with and when he's practicing and stuff. So it seems as if they are prepping him, and instead of him just sitting out for a couple more days, they want to get him on the ice, but they don't want him to be in that high-pressure NHL game.
He's going to have to do it eventually.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, I mean, I read I can't remember what, I think it was about an NFL thing that I was reading about how injured players, the hardest thing when they come back is that first game, being afraid of re-injuring whatever they had hurt before and sort of just like freaking out about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hardest thing for I mean, anybody that plays sports in general. I know I injured my ankle pretty badly a couple of weeks ago playing indoor soccer, and my first game back two Sundays ago was, you know, I was kind of nervous. I was worried about blocking a shot with my ankle or kicking the ball with my left foot just because I was wondering if I was going to hurt it again. And it sort of, it goes through your head and you play a little differently because of that, because you're worried about another injury propping up. But, you know, I think once he gets that first game, I think just for guys who have injuries to the upper body or even the lower body, if, you know, getting that first big hit against you and knowing you're okay and then seeing that, you know, if after that you're okay, then I think you start to fall back into the way you were playing before.
Yeah, this is one of the things I like about Barry Trotz, because it seems as if his player is unsure about something, then he just goes, all right, fine, then you're doing this. You know, when the shootout was going on, I think it was in the preseason, he went up to Ovechkin, he's like, do you think you can score on this guy? And Ovechkin's like, I'm not really sure. He didn't play Ovechkin in the first three spots for that shootout. They went to Tom Wilson, and they're like, all right, do you think you're ready to go? Do you think you can play a full game? Do you think you can play your normal 6 minutes that you play in this game? And Tom Wilson was like, I'm not really sure. So Barry Trotz was like, take him to Hershey and let him figure it out. We're going to go play the games up in Canada. You can go down to Hershey.
You don't have time for your unsure crap.
Yeah, so I like the way that Barry Trotz, I don't know if it's tough love, but it's kind of just like, get yourself confident enough to be on this team. And I kind of like what he's doing with that.
Is he almost saying to them, man up?
I think he is a little bit.
That would be awesome if he actually did that. Like, I'm not sure, man up. Stop being a little girl and play some hockey.
Yeah, so Tom Wilson.
Not that girls can't play hockey.
Tom Wilson, I think he's going to get a little culture shock as well, going on the Hershey Bears bus and everything like that. And be like, whoa, this isn't the NHL. Yeah. Let me get back up
what
there.
What is this bus? Is this taking us to the airport?
So that'll be interesting, because he was only a Bear for what, 2-3 games? Two seasons ago, and then he got called up to the NHL and played in the postseason, the playoffs.
I think it was a little more than 2-3 games. It wasn't a couple of weeks.
No,
maybe like a week or two. Yeah, like it wasn't long, but was it 2-3 games? I feel like it was a little longer than that.
I think it was a short period of time, because he went from being
short.
Yeah, he went from being a Whaler to a Bear to a Capital in the span, I want to say, of like a month and a half. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that definitely sounds right. It may have been less than a month and a half. It may have been a month or even like 3 weeks. But he definitely went – I mean, Wilson's rise was ridiculous. It was almost like Carlson, where he went from scoring the game winner in the –
the juniors.
Yeah, thank you. I was totally blank. Man, the juniors tournament. And then to the Capitals and scored the – was it the game winner? Or was it the game tying goal in the playoffs against the Canadiens?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was awesome. That's still one of my favorite goals that I've seen
ever.
with the Caps, just the excitement behind that whole thing and Backstrom's ridiculous play on that. Just the whole thing was fun.
Yeah. So
and then I think they lost that game.
It's always good down that way.
Damn it.
So did we cover everything in Caps world?
Yeah, we got Erskine's out, Likes on out, Wilson's not out. He's out of DC for the time being, but I don't think that's going to be a long term thing. Congrats to Backstrom on 500 points in 501 games. I actually read on Twitter that he is the first player in the 2006 NHL draft to get his 500th point. That puts him ahead of Jordan Staal, Jonathan Toews, and Phil Kessel, just to name a few.
Pretty elite class he's got going on right there.
I would say so. He also got to 500 points before Semyon Varlamov. Not that that means anything. I just felt like saying it.
All right. So if that's it for Caps World, we're going to go down on the farm and talk about the Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, you know what that means. It is time to go down on the farm. We're going to talk Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. Milkman Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
What? God, no, no, no.
Hey, it's Milkman or Farmer Man. You decide.
I'm going to go with neither. and we'll go with that. Okay, all right, since we last talked, Hershey went 2-0 with wins over Springfield and Hartford. That Hartford game, interestingly enough, the winner came with 1.5 seconds left in overtime.
Oh, wow.
That is a timely goal, if I say so myself. South Carolina got their season started on the 17th in back-to-back games against the Florida Everblades, losing the first one, but they ended up winning that second game. Now, Hershey is back at it with back-to-back-to-back games this weekend in Lehigh Valley. Then they have their home opener against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and then they play on Sunday at home again against Lehigh Valley, while South Carolina plays on the road in Greenville on Friday and then again on Saturday in their home opener against Wheeling. That's interesting that both home openers for Hershey and South Carolina are against the Penguins minor league affiliates.
They're both? That's cool.
Yeah, Wilkes-Barre Scranton and Wheeling are both the Pens minor league affiliates.
Oh, wow.
So anyways, yeah, I just thought it was kind of weird. I noticed that when I was looking at all the stuff later. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, with the Bears' schedule, with Tom Wilson being down there, I don't think he's playing all three games.
I would not expect that. I would be surprised. Like, maybe he gets Friday, Sunday?
You think Friday, Sunday, and practices on Saturday?
Yeah, probably. All right, well, I think we'll see after, like, the Friday game how he responds. Has he played for them yet? No?
No. No, he definitely has not played for them yet. All right, so we'll see what happens. But hey, if you're a Hershey Bears fan and you're going to be on the road with them, or possibly seeing Tom Wilson, an NHLer, at the Giants Center on opening night. Giants Center, great place to see a hockey game. I know opening night's going to just be jam packed to the rafters in that place. So. All right, so that's pretty much it for what's going on down on the farm. We're going to go around the NHL, but before we do, here's a quick word from CapsHill.com.
What the Puck is available on CapsHill.com. Check out blogs and funny photos that have appeared on the NHL Network. That's CapsHill.com.
The NHL, it's a crazy busy place to be nowadays. We got so much going on. Coach Dan, tell us, what's the latest news around the NHL?
We're going to start with a bit of a scary story. Los Angeles defenseman Slava Voynov has been suspended indefinitely after being arrested on suspicion of domestic violence.
Whoa.
Now, where have we seen that before? Clearly, the NHL is doing a better job than the NFL right now.
Well, maybe he'll just get a 2-game suspension, but if there's video, he might just get more.
Oh, Ray Rice is such a douche. Moving on, Boston's Milan Lucic was fined $5,000 for an obscene gesture he made during the game against Montreal. That's messed up, but still kind of funny. I'm pretty sure we all know what the obscene gesture probably was.
Was it a middle finger?
That's what I don't know specifically. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of other ones it could be, but I'm guessing it was a middle finger.
You think he gave somebody the shocker?
I don't know if they would give him a fine for that, because that could be he's an idiot. I mean, he probably would. I mean, he's an idiot anyways for doing it. I think it was the finger, but it could have been a whole bunch of other things
right.
That you can do with your hand. Moving on, Minnesota's Charlie Coyle will sign to a 5-year extension. Financial terms were not disclosed. Calgary also signed TJ Brody to a 5-year extension. Hockey Night in Canada's Elliot Friedman reports that the total comes out to $23.25 million. Buffalo will retire the jersey of former goalie Dominic Hasek on January 13th. He becomes the 7th player in Sabre history to have his jersey retired. And finally, the Islanders' new owners were introduced on Wednesday, taking a minority ownership with the team for 2 years, and then after those 2 years, they will take over a majority stake of the team. Now, the new owners are Scott Malkin, no relation to Evgeny, I'm assuming. Not to pull a Joe Beninati right there with the no relation comment. The other owner is going to be John Ledecky, who is actually a former owner of the Washington Capitals, selling his shares in 2001. That's it from the past week in the NHL.
And we should also bring up everybody in Ottawa. Just so you know, you guys are in our thoughts and prayers and everything, because just terrible stuff happened yesterday. And it's scary that the NHL has had to postpone this many games due to shootings and towns being shut down because of this kind of stuff. But Ottawa, we're definitely thinking about you guys. And I believe that game has already been rescheduled. I'm not sure for what when it's supposed to happen. But pretty scary stuff, because the game was supposed to be in Ottawa and both teams were in town and they were on lockdown in the hotels. I can't even imagine what that would be like. That's very scary to think about.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of situation is definitely frightening. And playing having a team and living near a city as you know, important as Washington, D.C., it's sort of always something that is sort of, I guess, kind of in the back of your mind as something that's happened. But, you know, hopefully we don't have crazy people doing stupid things. And thankfully, you know, unfortunately what happened, but thankfully more people were not hurt.
Yeah, that, I mean, that is at least one good thing. But, yeah, terrible stuff to see in Ottawa, and you never want to see something like that. But anyway, they have rescheduled that game, so that'll be, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, you don't have to wait very long. That game has been rescheduled. But let's talk about the Capitals schedule coming up. Here we go. They have three games until we talk again. On Saturday, October 25th, the Capitals will be in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, up against the Flames. That game, it's a late one here on the East Coast. That game is at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but it's Saturday, so you can stay up.
It is, but I'll probably fall asleep anyway. that game, you can watch it on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Sunday, October 26th, the Capitals are over in Vancouver, up against the Canucks, don't you know? 9:30 Comcast Sportsnet. If you've ever been to Vancouver, beautiful city. Absolutely want to go back there. And then the Capitals fly back home Wednesday, October 29th. It is rivalry night. Wednesday night rivalries. Capitals up against the Red Wings. They'll be in D.C. at 7:30, and you can watch that game on the NBC Sports Network. So, again, didn't really think the Capitals and the Red Wings had a big rivalry, but apparently they do.
Stanley Cup playoffs. Stanley Cup finals, I should say.
That's very true. And
you, Esatikinen.
If you want a new Facebook cover photo, NBC or NHL on NBC Sports has the Rivalry Night logo up for Red Wings and Capitals featuring Ovechkin. So definitely check that out if you wanna. All right, guys, that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. So we've already gone over the schedule. You can keep the show going. You know, we only do this show once a week, but if you want to continue to talk hockey, Coach Dan and I are both readily available on Twitter. So let me know what you think about the show. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. Let me know what you think about the show, what you think about the Capitals, what you think about hockey in general. Let me know if you think I suck. Let me know if you think I'm good at this. We do the podcast for free, so I'm probably just going to continue to do what I'm doing. But I'd still like to hear what you got to say. Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Go over to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows produced by Brando Cash Entertainment, plus cool photos and videos posted all the time. Also, go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. That's posts specifically about this show. You can also go to our website, BrandoCash.com. You'll get information about this show and all the other kind of cool stuff you can also get on Facebook. If you celebrate Christmas and you enjoy Christmas entertainment, we do have a Christmas show from Brando Cash Entertainment out there called WELF. Great show if you have kids. So download that. This show, What the Puck, is available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. We do the show completely for free. You guys can download, stream, or just listen to the show on all those things completely for free. But what we need you guys to do, you got to help us out. Spread the word about What the Puck, okay? We love doing the show, but we want to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I got a little competition with my other show, The Call. The Call hit over 1,000 hits last week from last week's episode. So I'd like to see What the Puck get even more hits than just over 1,000. And let's keep it going. We're early on in the season. So if your baseball team isn't playing anymore, tell some friends that, you know, you should watch hockey if you're missing baseball. It's a lot of fun to watch, and these guys know what they're talking about, and you got to love the Capitals. So let people know. Be social with the show. Go to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know. I listen to What the Puck. I love the Washington Capitals, and they should too. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. We'll see you guys next time. Up in Calgary is the next game. Can't wait to watch that one on Saturday night. And we'll be cheering from our hometown, wherever Coach Dan lives. I live in Baltimore. But we're going to be cheering, and they're going to hear us in Calgary. And we're all going to say, let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
That means he got that ahead of, let me look it up. Oh, shoot, where'd it go? Oh, man. I thought I retweeted it. TV timeout.
God damn it. TV timeout. So that means we need to have a Peyton Manning commercial at this point. Have you guys tasted these new Doritos? They're great.
Is it him or Adam Vingan?
So I go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You can like us over there. Like us over there. Hey, like us over there, please. Hey.
Are we in the 20s?
Oh, yeah. Go over to that new picture show. It's called the Facebook. Yeah. All right.